giving us messages
to endure hardness as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, do you have hardness? Or do you have blessings?
Blessings. Both.
Are you ready for hardness? The only hardness I have is fighting against my own sins. That's hard enough for me. But if you and I were among those who suffered the loss of loved ones in great numbers, if suddenly your home disappeared, if you are asleep there, and a big wave came and covered everything and everybody and all is gone, do you have hardness? What are you complaining about in your life? Now sit down. Sit down with yourself and the Lord every day and write down the things that you are complaining about. And then take the time to be holy, and that is to assess the state of the world and see which part of the world would you like to exchange your place with. And why should we go far away? 375,000 people die in this country every year. Just from alcohol related. If you visit the hospitals today, many people never planned to be there. Mm-hmm. Some did, because their sickness was progressive. Mm-hmm. But most of the people that I meet in hospitals never planned to be there. Some of them are young. Mm. All ages and stages. And it's from all countries. The question is, what are we doing with our lives today? And should we wait for a major crisis to come to count our blessings? And to ask God to make us right with Him? These are the powerful tool for understanding and perceiving the events in our lives and the events of the world in all the right way. And they are the right, most effective tool in responding to all events in our lives, in our families, in the church, and in the world in the right way. Guaranteed victory. It is guaranteed victory. How do you see the events in Japan or the Middle East or in New Zealand? They also had a major earthquake. Mm-hmm. People forget so quickly. And many homes crumbled. One of the big cathedrals there also crumbled. And it is, I think, a Christian church town. It's amazing that the name was just so alarming. So here it is. Are you able to use this and to deal with the events of your life in all the right ways? If you look at all of these events, how are you using this to really come out of it on the top? As I shared with some of you throughout the past week, people are asking me if I bought my potassium iodide. And so many people are so distressed and so afraid about what may happen if that radioactive came to the United States. And schools are warning the kids what they need to be prepared for and here and there. And I found that the people who are most distressed are those who do not know the Lord Jesus. And then gradually, it is people from God's church who are also panicking, because they don't know how this applies. As if this is such a shock, as if it is something new they never heard of, that it will take place on the earth. This is very much the signs of the time that Jesus said will be increasing with greater magnitudes. And Jesus also said, watch and pray that you may be worthy to escape the things that are to come upon this earth and to stand before the Son of Man. It's unfortunately that Christians who have been hearing the living words of Jesus and seeing the events of life are falling into the trap of desensitization. Is that a big word?
Yes.
The more we see it, the less we sense it. Earthquakes, famines, wars, tsunamis, crises. The prophets told us about the Old Testament. Jesus clearly told us about it. The apostle told us about it. And now it is becoming with voracious magnitude. The question is, what are you doing with your life? Are you in a state of uprightness with God? And now we have the billboards in Castro Valley and throughout the freeways that the end of the world is coming May 23rd. Huh. But I got that date right. May 23rd. And of course, with all of these events taking place, many people will give way and believe that it is May 23rd. But the truth of the matter is, many people already faced the end of the world yesterday, died. That's end of the world. Many people did not wake up this morning. End of the world. Many people will not live until tomorrow. End of the world. These are the things that the devil is desensitizing us, keeping us preoccupied with toys of this world, with the cares of this world, whether it is work or school or whatsoever. Desensitization. So you would not think and sense what is really going on. And are these signs of the time proclaiming the soon coming of Christ? And if you look at the book of Revelation, many people will rest in peace out of God's mercy because they will not be able to tolerate the things that are to come upon this earth. Is that going to be you or me? And the Lord will keep a remnant unto the end. Is your heart and mind right with God today? And what does it take to make it right with God? Please use these tools. The first and foremost important reason for everything. All crisis is designed to make mankind think of his and her own salvation. All of the events for those who are going through the crisis and for us who are witnessing the crisis is to ask the question, am I saved? And to cry out to Jesus, save me, have mercy upon me, because I am still a struggling sinner. That is the reason of all events, because this earth is going to perish. The earth is groaning. It is groaning as the Bible said it will. And it's groaning in great distress and pain because of sin. And we can see it slowly dissolving. And when we go through all of this crisis, if we have faith in ourselves or in others to save us, look, I think the Japanese are very brilliant when it comes to technology. Mm-hmm. There is no question about that. We see evidence of that all the time. But here it is. They tried the best they can to trust in themselves to contain these explosions. It happens to them. And finally, they began to seek help from the United States. But imagine if the Japanese and everybody really know the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and prayed the first time a sign began to take place after the crisis. Imagine if mankind had to place their faith in the Creator who controlled the seas. He controlled the skies. He controlled everything on earth. He created all mankind. For those who place their faith in Jesus, they're not afraid. They still sleep at peace. And they spend tremendous amount of time in prayer. And they claim the promises of God lying girt with truth. And the truth will set you free. Of course, I look at the words of Jesus. Nothing is new under the sun. He said it will happen, and he told us exactly what we need to do then and now when it happened. And he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Okay? It works. When I place my faith in the hand of Him who controls the universe, I have nothing to fear. And whatever happens to me afterwards, it's His will. It's His will. And then the breastplate of righteousness is what we're discussing in the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to conclude it today. But listen to this. It is the Word of God that gives us direction to understand what is going on, and it also gives us direction into how to respond to all events. It is the Word of God that really sets us free from our internal distresses. It is the Word of God that helps us excel, even in time of great destruction. The Lord promised that He will prosper us, that our soul will prosper if we call upon His name. And we don't have to worry about the how, because it is a divine mystery of truth. I have picked up a flower this week, more than one. It's just amazing. I picked up the flower and I touched it and I held it with my hand. I used all of my senses. I smelled it. I touched it. I even tested a piece of it. And I tried to tell my brain, explain, how did it come about? With all of my human senses, I couldn't explain. And it is just one flower. But it is so sad that mankind, including Christians, live everyday life as if they are in control. Until things go out of control. Then they panic. And they begin to see whether they can do something themselves. Or run to the over-the-counter medication. You know that potassium iodine is going for $600 now on eBay. Isn't that something? And some people are still panicking to buy. The Word of God should set us free from all of these internal and external distresses. And then we will be guided and guarded and directed by the gospel of peace. Peace be still, said the Lord Jesus. My peace I give unto you. And then through the Apostle Paul, he told us, be anxious about nothing. But in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Don't forget that. Be thankful for what you have. Don't be complaining. Be thankful for what you have. Because you don't understand the great many pieces that is attached to what you're going through. But in all things, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Remember, the heart is the foundation of all decisions. Jesus said, out of the heart are the issues of life. Most people go by their feelings. They feel, and then they think. And then they try to find ways to accommodate their feelings. But God did not create us that way. He created us to think first. Decipher information. Get knowledge. Pray for wisdom. And then you will get a good feeling about it after you make your decision. You know, we often use that in speech, but I feel. How often do you say, but I think? That is the way I feel about it. Just see how many times during the week you use the term, I feel about it. That's how I feel. Well, maybe examine that with the knowledge of God to see if that is what you ought to think. Okay, so today we're going to be examining more the state of our heart and how we can begin to see things and feel things through the eyes of Christ and by the Word of God. Open with me today, please. Daniel chapter 9. We can continue to go down, though, and I think right here. Last week, the blessings of righteousness, and we talked about two types of Christians who went to the same temple to pray. Amen? One is a publican and the other is a Pharisee. And this to present very much the majority of Christians who go to churches every week. Whether Bible studies or whether Sunday service, Saturday service, Monday service, Tuesday Bible studies, it doesn't really matter. Most Christians go to church with the same state of heart. We don't come to church because we are righteous, are we?
No.
Unfortunately, many Christians go to church sometimes believing they are righteous. And that's why they go to church. So we have here the Pharisee and we have the publican. Jesus said both of them went to pray. One began to recount the many good things he's doing. That I pray and I fast and I give tithe and offering. And I am not an extortioner like this guy standing in the corner there. And that other guy was a publican. The only thing he said, I recognize my destituted, wicked heart and state, and I cannot live with myself having known that I have robbed so many people. And great many people have suffered because of my choices and decision. Lord, please do something. Have mercy upon me. I am a sinner. And Jesus said, these two people went to pray in the same temple. One left more justified and right than the other. Which one are we? That is how we become right with God. We become right with God through the confession of our sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is just to forgive us all of our sins and to save us from all unrighteousness. You see, this is not a work I can do for myself. Definitely, it's not a work I can do for anybody. It's not a work you can do for yourself or for anybody. The work of righteousness is a mysterious, true work that the Holy Spirit works in us through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a mystery, but it is true, and there is evidence of that in our individual life. If you have experienced the power of prayer, if you have experienced the power of the living word, if you began to experience the transformation of how you feel and how you think and the decision making. I'm not saying here you become perfect. I said you should have experienced the power of God working in you, changed from the inside out. And if you did, the Holy Spirit is in you. But we reach a state of righteousness like Christ more and more every day as we cry out daily. David cried out, and we read the Psalms 51. Committed many sins, and he could not tolerate it, just like the publican. And he prayed, have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. He says, against thee and against thee only I have sinned, and my sins is ever before me. And then he continued down there and said, Lord, wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. He wants a clean heart. He doesn't like the feelings that come from this oppression of sin. And he wants a brand new mind. He no longer wants to dwell on all of these follies and failures. He needs a transformation, a change. And he cried out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And then he said, after that, I can teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. We cannot be of help to anybody unless we receive help first. It's unfortunate that the Pharisee came in believing he did not need any help. It is the other guy that did. And he left much more troubled and stained by sin, even though he went to the temple to pray. And he invoked the name of God. One went right with God, relieved of all internal distress. And one went to the church to pile up more unrighteousness to himself by his deeds of righteousness. What a paradox, huh? He seemed to be doing everything that is right in his sight, but it's not in the eyes of God. Now today, I'm going to be looking at Daniel 9, and listen to this. You're going to see some similarities between Daniel and David and the publican. But we're going to go a step further today. God will show us through the life of Daniel and his humility how we can bring a state of righteousness to our families, to our people, and how we can influence nations with the righteousness of Christ. You know, according to my reading of the book of Daniel and all of the Old and New Testament regarding Daniel, there is not one mention at all and whatsoever that Daniel had committed any aberrations or sins. At least all of what we read about Daniel, that he was a faithful, just man, even unto death. But he was still a human being. No one knew about Daniel more than Daniel did, and no one knew about Daniel more than God did. So I wanted to look at Daniel. Right now, he and all of his Hebrew brothers are paying the consequences of iniquity, becoming slaves in Babylon. It is one thing for you to be under occupation, like down in Palestine. Many of your freedoms are restricted, and you are under distress because you are not free. But it is worse yet to become a slave. They were taken from their home in Jerusalem after the word of God through Jeremiah was completed and Jerusalem was burned down and the temple was burned down because of the iniquity and the constant rebellion of the people of Israel through the success of Satan to desensitize them as to the warning of God that was coming through the prophet Jeremiah and Elijah. So here Daniel and all of the Hebrew are paying the consequences of the sins of their forefathers and the sins of their own ancestors and the sins of their own families in addition to their own sin. Now they are slaves in Babylon. And now Daniel, we have read his story, and I used that already at the beginning when we were addressing different items of the full armor of God, how he remained faithful even when he was warned that if he worshiped his God, he will be fed to the lions. And Daniel continued to pray 3 times a day, opening the windows and crying up to the Lord. He knew who's in control. And we've seen what happened, that because of his faithfulness, even though he was thrown into the hungry lions, God spared his life. The king believed more in the God of Daniel, and through the life of Daniel and through his faith and through his act of righteousness, God moved upon Darius and Cyrus and Babylonian kings to acknowledge that the God of Daniel is the one and only true God, and urge all of their nations to bow down and worship God of Daniel. But now Daniel is in a different phase. Daniel was not just a tool of righteousness into the eyes of God and into the hand of God, but now Daniel is going to be given a vision or series of visions as to what is going on in history then and what will be coming later in history after his time. When you look at the events of the world today, if your heart is right with God, you should be able to discern what is written in the Bible regarding those events today. And if you continue in prayer, like Daniel did, and he will show us how to do it, God can use you to influence your family to understand the same. And God can use you to influence nations into understanding God's will and purpose in what is taking place and what will come after. So let us go to the life of Daniel and watch his humility. Chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Daniel is saying, I have understood at that time the word of God as to the events present in my life and in the life of all the Hebrew nation. That 70 years have to be accomplished from the destruction of Jerusalem and for 70 years of slavery in Babylon and then the restoration of God's people back. He said, I understood. I began to look at the events and why it's taking place. But he also understood the cause of the problem. And he is going to be addressing the cause of the problem. And watch how God is going to be responding to Daniel. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer. Here it is. And supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And that is what we ought to do. One of those armors is to pray without ceasing. To go to the Lord to understand what does that mean to you, Lord, what does it mean to us? What does it mean to our families? What does it mean to the church? What does it mean to the state of the world? Don't just be desensitized by your own wants and concerns and worries. You will be swept away by a great surprise. Jesus said that that day is going to come upon many believers with a great surprise. They will be completely unaware that that is the day. So Daniel was praying and fasting. He was not eating. And verse 4 again. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. You know, it is kind of ironic that all of the evidence tells us that Daniel was a righteous man, but he still made a confession. And he included himself as a sinner. And he prayed for God's pardon. I made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. He also acknowledges that God is merciful toward those who believe on him and believe on his word and commandments and try to seek to live his righteousness. He is forever more merciful because he knows we cannot be right without him. And that's a different stand than what the people of Israel took prior to Daniel. They became desensitized by the riches and the things and the cares of this world. And they rebelled against God and refused anything the prophets were telling them. So he said, I came to confess knowing that God is merciful. And here is Daniel again. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly. And have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. Look, the man is confessing his sins. The sins of his people and the sins of his ancestors. That is why they are in this predicament. That's why the earth is groaning with great pain. Because mankind rebelled against God. And trusted in their own might and chariot and in their own wisdom. And develop matters and things that are so destructive to the earth. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precept and from thy judgment. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, to all the people of the land. O Lord, I love this one. Talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Listen to this again. We've been hitting that word again and again, and it always referred to Jesus. Righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. We are very confused about ourselves and about the state of the world and about what is going on.
righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near, that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. The root cause of all of the miseries in our life, families, church, and the world today is sin. It may not be directly all our sins, but the sins of others. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our king, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. He's including himself into this. He's not saying, I am right with you, I'm just praying for the other guys. Look again, how to attend to righteousness. That's why Daniel was not just justified before God as a right man, but he was also given the power to know things far beforehand. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belongeth mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Are you spending time to pray for yourself and your family, the church and the people of the world? Learn to pray like Daniel and like the publican and like David. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he said before us by his servants the prophets. True. Even me today, with all of these years, I still fall short of the glory of God every day. But that's the reason why I spend time in prayer every day. I fight the good fight of faith and I lay hold on eternal life, looking unto Jesus alone, the author and the finisher of my faith and your faith. How much time do you spend with the Lord every day? Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his word which he spake against us, and against our judges that judge us, by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven has not been done as has done upon Jerusalem. Look at what's happening in the world today. Much worse than that. Things have become worse in the world. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Even though there are crises, many people are still not turning to the Lord. They are not acknowledging the state of sin and the violence of sin, neither do they want to give in to the Lord or give up on iniquities. And that could be family members in which we have responsibility toward, like Daniel did. Therefore has the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he has done, for we obeyed not his voice. I don't think it is God that is punishing us. He has been trying to steer every day to the straight and narrow path of life and blessing. It is we who keep insisting on our own ways that bring about violence and sin and troubles. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Do you have the courage and the heart to say that in your prayer? Or are you always focused on others? Your grievance is always toward somebody else. If you deal with your own heart and with your own mind and with your own life in that healthy way like Daniel, you will be delivered from great many problems inside and out, And the Lord will use you to bring the same resolve to those within your household, within the church, and in your neighborhood, and those in the world. Verse 16, O Lord, according to thy righteousness, not Daniel's righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem. Now he humbled himself. And now he was broken completely. Now he addressed the problem and the solution and pleaded with God for forgiveness and for mercy. Now he's asking that the Lord restore back Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our father. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake, not for Daniel's sake. He wanted to see Jerusalem rebel, the sanctuary and the service of the sanctuary restored, and the people of God turning back into a state of kingdom life in and through the good Lord. O my God, incline thy ear and hear, open thy eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. Did you see that? Unlike the Pharisee. He said, we are not coming here to pray and present our supplication to you because we are right, but because of your tender mercy, we trust in your everlasting love and mercy upon us. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. What a wonderful exposition that is. You know, imagine yourself praying for your own state, for your parents, for your siblings, for your children, for your loved ones, the same prayer like Daniel. Take the time and pray for the state of all nations and watch the outcome of that. And we have made at least an agreement before the Lord last night that this coming week, and maybe all the days of our life as well, that we'll try to take time to pray for ourselves, our families, and all nations, and watch the outcomes in your life. By beholding God, you become changed. Watch God working signs and wonders that you never expect, because you are no longer mourning and groaning about your condition. You are considering the most serious issue on this earth, salvation from sin, the violence of sin that is present and is to come upon us and upon our families, upon God's church and upon the state of the world, and now we see it running loose. You may be sparing yourself and your family great harm in the days ahead by taking time to pray for yourself and them and the nations of the world. And look at the nations of the world and their suffering, and the Bible said, bear their burden as if it is yourself in the flesh. Put yourself in their place and plead on their behalf. There is great rewards that are forfeited by Christians, because they're only praying to God as Santa Claus about I, me, and myself. And then they wonder why things are not happening. You are not asking to be right with God. If you seek first heaven and his righteousness, he made the promise clear, all of these things will be added unto you. You see, the shield of faith? We have a problem with that. We have a problem with the full armor of God. So Daniel prayed and asked the Lord to forgive and to hear and to change the heart and mind and soul and the state of his people and the country. Listen now to what happened next while he's in a state of prayer. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing what? My sin. And the sin of my people Israel. And presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. What happened? Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, the angel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening offering or oblation. So the angel was sent to communicate, to assure, and to confirm to Daniel that God heard, accepted his prayer, and now I came to give you something you didn't ask for. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Isn't that what we need today in our lives? Don't you want skill to understand yourself and why you feel the way you feel? Why you desire the things you desire? How does that fit and how does it affect everyone else in your family? Don't you want to understand the things that are happening in the world and how it will impact you and impact your families? Today, most of the people get their skill and understanding from the TV. You hear the news, you panic, and you go and do what they tell you to do. They run to and fro. No foundation. Motivated by fear to act, not by faith. And here Daniel was given skill and understanding. He said, at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Daniel received the vision, but he could not understand it, and he was so troubled. So now the angel came to say, your prayer for righteousness have been heard, and I was commanded by my Maker to come now to comfort you and to let you know you are very beloved of the Lord, and God is about to give you a vision. With the vision, he will give you the skill and understanding as how your prayer will be answered. That is a blessing of righteousness. One of the great blessings of righteousness that God unveals his secrets to comfort your heart and to assure you if you are ready and prepared to receive them. So he began to give him some news. He said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the holy, the most holy. Boy, this is loaded prophecy in which is beyond this session. First of all, it is 70 weeks. If you multiply 70 by 7, what do you get? 490 days. According to Bible prophecy, anytime you are talking about visions and prophecy, a day is equal to, those who read the Bible?
A year.
Very good. A day is equal to a year in prophecy. So now the Lord is revealing to Daniel that there will be 490 years for several things to be accomplished. First, for the transgression of the people of Israel to end. That is 70 years in exile. Right away, it's taken out of the 490 days. But then he tells him something else. Many things are going to happen within this 490 years. Let me read it again. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin. And remember, he already told us at the beginning that 70 years have been already foretold by Jeremiah for the people of Israel to pay for the consequences of sin in Babylon and then to be restored back to rebuild Jerusalem. Then, between the 70 years and for another few years, to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Everlasting righteousness. Who is supposed to be bringing that? It's talking about the coming of Jesus, and he will make it very clear and explicit in the next verses. It says to bring in everlasting righteousness in and through Christ and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. When was Jesus anointed? During his baptism. Okay, know therefore and understand that from, here you go, he's giving some explanation now, how this 490 years are going to play out. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the walls even in troublous times. Boy, again, little prophecy, just to simplify it until I come to that later. It's mainly saying here that from the day a proclamation will be made to rebuild Jerusalem, that is after the 70 years, and to restore the people back until that time. It says it's going to be what? 7 weeks in addition to 62 weeks. That give us 69 weeks from the 70 weeks. There is another week remaining that something else will be taking place in. Let us read it. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. Listen to this. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined. So the Messiah will be cut off. That is at the crucifixion. 31 AD. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That is the missing week of the 69. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. When Jesus is crucified, no longer sacrifices for sin. He is the Lamb of God that was slain once and for all. He will end all things in the middle of the week. And for the everlasting spreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So if you really read the book of Ezra, especially Ezra chapter 6 and 7, you will get some of those dates. From the proclamation to rebuild and restore Jerusalem under King Artaxerxes. It happened in the book of Ezra chapter 6 and 7 around the year 456 3/4 BC. That is when it happened. And it carried on until the year 27 AD when Jesus was anointed. That is the 69 weeks. And then in the 1 week, it says, in the middle of that week, the Messiah will be cut off. And the sacrifices will end. So between 27 and 34, right in the middle of that week, 31 AD, Jesus was crucified. And all the sacrifices end. And 34 AD was the stoning of Stephen. And the end of that era that ended really the issue that only the Jews are the people of God. That is when the gospel of salvation began to be taken to the Gentiles as well, to become the seeds of Abraham. Notice clearly what happened when Dan was praying. And look at those blessings.
in Matthew 6, 34, 33 and 34. Let us see if that happened in the life of the publican. Let us see if it happened in the life of David. Let us see if it happened in the life of Daniel. In Matthew 6, 33, what does it say?
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and
His righteousness.
And all of these things shall be added unto you.
C.S. Lewis said, choose heaven and the whole earth will be thrown into it. And choose the earth and you will get neither.
Did that happen to the publican?
Jesus said it did.
Did it happen to David?
Jesus said it did.
Happened to Daniel? Of course. We've seen him becoming the second most powerful man in all the kingdom and staying there until the end of the exile. So in that, this is the blessings of righteousness. That you will receive the righteousness of Jesus on your behalf. That is if you confess your sins every day and the sins of your people and your families before the Lord God Almighty. It is not for you to try to go and fix everybody. When we try to go and fix everybody, it's an indication that we are running away from being fixed. Can you get this? The Lord didn't say, go and try to save and fix others. But he said, work your own salvation with fear and trembling. And learn from all of this, fathers of faith, that righteousness belongs unto God, but to us, confusion of faces because of sin and iniquity in us. Only Jesus can grant us his righteousness, because as the Bible said, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we through him might become the righteousness of God. So the first blessing is, when we seek that righteousness of Jesus, we receive it, and God bless us with all other issues. Secondly, in Psalm 34 and in Proverbs 15 and in James 5, many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord always hears and favorably answers his and her prayers.
As a matter of fact, David is saying, many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. The righteous cry, and the Lord hearken unto his prayer. We've seen that in the life of Daniel, in the life of David, in the life of the publican. But what made him righteous? Because he seeked first the righteousness of God, and he asked for the forgiveness of sin. He was made right with God first, and then God made everything else right for him. And that's what happened to Daniel. And James, tell us the same thing. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. A prayer of a faithful man availeth much with God. Like Daniel. We've seen that to be the blessings of righteousness as well.
Finally, in Proverbs 18, it's kind of amazing. And in Proverbs 28 as well. It says mainly that the wicked flees when no one is pursuing. But the righteous is fearless, bold as a lion, and is safely guarded by God's power.
Look what's happening to the people over the disaster in Japan and elsewhere. Everyone is running to and fro. And many people are becoming so anxious and cannot sleep at night. They're afraid. They're afraid of things unseen, things unknown.
It says the wicked flee.
You keep running, on the run.
It says, but the righteous. The righteous is fearless.
Why? And bold. Why? As a lion. Because we know who is in control of all things. And if we are right with him, all things shall work together for good to those who love the Lord Jesus and those called according to his purpose. We are fearless. We don't make decisions because of fear. We make decisions because of complete faith and trust in God, that it shall be well with our souls. And whatever His will may be, it will be just good for us. And is safely guarded by God's power. That's another benefit of becoming right with God every day. Finally, and we have seen that, Matthew 13, I covered that. This is the parable of the wheat and the tares. Publican and Pharisees in the same church. Good and evil in the same world. And Jesus said, you know, there is wheat and tares in this world. I seeded the wheat to spare them for the great harvest to come. But the enemy came at night when no one is watching and began to seed the tares in the heart and mind and lives of those who are not attending to the voice of the Spirit. And Jesus said, you know, we cannot pluck them out now. Lest when you go and try to take the evil people out, you destroy also the good people.
Right.
He said that day is going to come when I will come and remove the tares and put them into the furnace to be burnt up. As to the wheat, I will take them as a great harvest into the garner to be spared. That is the great reward of seeking the righteousness of Jesus. And in conclusion, I want to read the words of Daniel. What is happening now? What will happen at the end of the world? And what will happen to those who are righteous before God? Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Another revelation given to Daniel. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, even every one that shall be found written in the book of life. Regardless of what troubles happen in the world now or later, it is the promise that during this time that the earth never seen before, God's people will be delivered. Those whose names are written in the book of life, who were made right by the precious blood of the Lamb. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's the truth. All of us live, and sometime all of us will die. The question is, what happens next? There will be the resurrection of the saints who have been made right through the precious love of Jesus, through faith and trust in Him, through the prayer of contrition every day. They prayed for themselves. They prayed for their families and the iniquities and the sins of their families. They prayed for their church and they prayed for their neighbors. They prayed for their nations and the nations of the world. They spent time like Daniel praying for the righteousness of God to rule over their hearts. When the journey ends and before the journey ends, they are very blessed. They're going to receive all the blessings of righteousness. And when they rest in peace and their compassion is full and complete, they will hear the voice of Jesus raising them up to everlasting life. All the New Testament is telling us the story about that glorious appearing of our Lord. And finally is the last verse. Listen to this now so you can decide what you're going to do from this point henceforth. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, that is heaven. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of heaven. And they, here it is, that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. What are you spending your time doing every day? If you are wise, if you look at your life, your family, the church, the world, and the state and the affairs of the world, however complex and painful it may be, through the eyes of the living truth, and if you respond accordingly by the word of God, you're wise. And if you are wise, everyone will see when people are so frightened, when people are so troubled, when they are running to and fro, they will look at you and see a fearless light. You will be shining like the firmament of heaven. And not just that. If you spend your time daily trying to share the righteousness of Jesus in your life and the blessings of righteousness with your loved ones, with your co-workers, with everyone that God may send your way, it says you shall be shining as the star forever and ever. There will be a star and many of them in your crown in heaven. And the book of Revelation tells us that those people will have a special place in heaven. Now, we have covered the full armor of God from every aspect. And I concluded with righteousness because it's going to be a beginning of a new series. And the new series will cover 7 principles for conflict resolution. 7 series of conflict resolution. How, through the living word of God, you can understand your conflict and what are the right way to resolve the conflict. Secondly, because it's inevitable that you're going to have to deal with family members, because it's inevitable you have to deal with teachers and supervisors and workers and co-workers and neighbors, with government officials, it's inevitable that you will have relationship and you will have conflict in relationship all the days of your life, I will be sharing with you 7 principles of conflict resolution. This is the first one. And it goes under the first principle that says, squant and you can leave. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord like Daniel, and first he shall lift you up. If you are drowning and if you can't walk, how can you solve the conflict of anybody else? That's why we cover that in all details. That in order to jump high, you got to bend your knee. In order to be uplifted from your own conflict, you got to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus and help you deal with the iniquity that locked you where you are. And there are only blessings that follow. Notice that. And listen to how Daniel resolved that conflict for himself, for all the people of Israel, and for great many nations to come. So I would like you to pray for me this coming week as I work on those principles and elaborate upon them by the word of God. But you can begin the process by checking your own state of conflict with sin. And read that chapter again. Read Psalms 51. Look at the story of the publican and begin to make your heart right with Jesus. Don't try to focus on anybody else. That step is not yet. Unless you are helped, you can't help anybody. And if you try to jump and resolve the conflict that you have with other people without resolving your own conflict, guess what's going to happen? You're going to create more conflict. But Jesus is the answer. And he has an answer for every conflict within and without. And why don't we embark on this journey? Why don't we embark on this journey? And ask the Lord Jesus to guide our heart and mind and soul. And why don't we pray for the righteousness of Christ to rule over our lives? This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand together. Our God and Heavenly Father, with your servant Daniel, we turn to you, our heart and mind and soul, acknowledging that the troubles on this earth and the troubles in our life, in our families, the church and the world is due to sin. And we look at your word and we saw those events unfolding before your soon coming and at the end of the world. Lord, I pray that you forgive us all of our iniquities and sins. Lord, I pray that you continue to help us by your living word of truth to know who we are in your sight. And show us whom we ought to be. And we covet your grace and mercy and love and your power of righteousness to be perfect in our own weaknesses. And we pray that you help our loved ones and family members, our parents, our children, our brothers and sisters, our spouses, our grandparents, uncle and aunts and cousins, our neighbors and those in the world. We pray that your Holy Spirit also reach them directly through your living word, or in dreams as you have reached great many others, or through events of life. Reach them and show them the ways of life versus the ways of death, the ways of blessings versus the ways of curses. And may you show them right and wrong, good and evil. And those who call upon your holy name, O Lord, may they also be delivered from their iniquities and the suffering thereof. We pray for the comfort of the Spirit and the deliverance of every soul on this earth from sin, the violence of sin, deliverance from Satan's oppression and possession. And may your everlasting arms reach down and deep and pull thy people into your ark of safety as the storms of life pass by. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.